Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
You say to your officers, do your job, do what you're sworn to do, and I think that's exactly what officers will do. In my experience, in 45 years in policing, I've never seen officers back off from their sworn duties. I think the president is the ultimate healer and the one who brings people together, and I think that's what he's trying to do, and his statements are along those lines.
That was Ray Kelly, the longest-serving commish of the New York City Police Department in its history, a lifelong New Yorker. He is the law when it comes to New York City, and he can look at it from all different angles. The angle he was looking at is the sad assassination of two New York City cops, supposedly in retaliation for what happened with Michael Brown and Eric Garner, which is unbelievable to me. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hate to start on such a sour note. Tis the season to be jolly, but this is an awful, awful sad story. One of the police officers had just turned 40, and one had just gotten married. He was married for 2 months before he was brutally assassinated. Both with big dreams as to what they were going to do in the New York City Police Department. So the thin blue line is buzzing and has been buzzing for the last couple of days. What happened was a man just shot and assassinated in cold blood, killed two NYPD police officers as they sat in their patrol car. This was a guy who was posting nasty things on social media, ranting against the government and the cops, because, of course, now they've investigated his life. Ishmael Brinsley, just 28 years old, posting lots and lots of despair and nasty comments, making a lot of reference, as I said, to Michael Brown and Eric Garner. The two separate incidents where two black men who were killed by police, one Ferguson, Missouri, of course, Michael Brown, and Eric Garner, the I Can't Breathe story, the guy who was choked by a police officer, and of course that became a huge story. The Instagram post said this: I'm putting wings on pigs today. They take one of ours. Let's take two of theirs. He had a big, fat criminal record. He was arrested 15 times in Georgia for all kinds of crimes, busted 4 times in Ohio. He was in prison in Georgia for almost 2 years for criminal possession of a weapon. So, unfortunately, his connection to New York was his mother lived there, but his connection to law enforcement is being busted those times I mentioned, and of course all the crazy ramblings of late that they were able to find once they started to comb through all of his stuff. So they were shot with no warning, no provocation, nothing. Witnesses say they saw Brinsley just walk up to the car, assume what was being described as a shooting stance, you know, the kind that you see on television, for lack of a better way to describe it, and they were assassinated. It was at near a subway station. Eventually, he was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So once again, he not only murders them in cold blood, then he takes himself out. And the saddest thing in all of this, and bringing it back home to me, I think, is the fact when you look at the two officers, the son of one of the officers wrote that this was the worst day of his life. Jaden Ramos, posting on Facebook about the cold-blooded murder of his father, Rafael Ramos. Awful. There just are no words for this. There are no words for this. And as I said, the boys in blue have this has been the buzz up and down the East Coast and beyond that too. Ramos, I mentioned, just had hit a big milestone, 40 years old, and his partner had just been married a couple of months previous to that. So when something tragic like this happens, of course, the governor orders that flags on the building in New York City be flown at half staff. The mayor of New York City and Bill Bratton, the current police commissioner, they meet with the families of the victims. But there's still, I mean, it still is an unspeakable act. It's an unspeakable act. He came to New York, Brinsley did, the assassinator, from Baltimore, but he had lived in Georgia. I mentioned the time he did in Georgia, and there was no indication that he had any kind of a gang around him or a group that was pushing him or any of that kind of thing. He had shot and seriously wounded an ex-girlfriend on Saturday morning, and then, of course, you know, he went from there to do what he did ultimately to the two cops. The ex-girlfriend is in critical but stable condition, so they were able to talk to her. He showed up at her apartment. They started arguing, and then that was it. And unfortunately, then he made his way up to New York City, and that's when the two police officers had no clue what was happening, and they were killed, and then he took his own life. So I'm sure there's going to be much more conversation about this in the next couple of days. Very sad. They'll have a huge funeral procession for both men. I'm certain of it. It's the holidays. Can you imagine, with family members and everybody else just astonished by what's happened here? It's an awful, awful thing, and happened Saturday. And the families are still, like I say, in shock. And the ambulances that took the bodies away from the hospital, you already had police lined four deep, and it looked like almost a mile, saluting as they went by, just to give you an idea of what that's, you know, again, of what that is like. And I know that we'll hear more in the next couple of days. And that, by all indications, as I said, social media, he was rambling, ranting, saying a lot of things about what happened in New York and what happened in Ferguson, and this certainly marred the weekend, no doubt about it. In the meantime, also happening over the weekend, lots of conversation about North Korea and the Sony hack, saying that this is just the beginning. North Korea is warning that U.S. citadels will be attacked, and it will dwarf the hacking attack on Sony that led to the cancellation of what would have been on Christmas Day, the movie The Interview. Or actually, they were even talking about preliminarily releasing it early, but then now it's completely canceled because of the threats of a 9/11 style attack. So now those threats continue. What do you do with this? You know, are we moving swiftly enough to take action? The Pentagon saying that, you know, this group that is causing this and claiming responsibility, Guardians of Peace, are sharpening their bayonets not only in the mainland, but in other parts of the world. That's one of the statements that they released. So the FBI pinned the blame on North Korea for that hack into the Sony computer system. And they're, you know, this is like cyber vandalism at its best. And now they're threatening other things as well. So what do you do with that? Top stories of the year, as I said, we're going to start looking at them this week and into next week. Stay with us. Much more to come. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. choices, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Rewind here on America Tonight. One of the top stories featured, sadly, an American, James Foley, who was beheaded. The ISIS video that followed was viral, and everybody was talking about it. The executioner had a British accent, and the hunt was on for the killer of James Foley. We talked to Tom Risen, a roommate, friend, etc., while they were in college together in Chicago, about Foley's slaughter, his murder, in August, and what James Foley was like and what he wanted to do when he was in journalism school and why he found himself in that situation. One of our top interviews, I think, of the year, because it was such a big story, and it was great to get the perspective from somebody who knew him and knew why he was doing that, because one of the things that was said about the people caught in the situation where they were kidnapped and then tortured and ultimately beheaded is, why were they there in the first place, and how did they get there, and why would you put yourself in that situation? And Tom Risen had some thoughts on this, because this was always what he wanted to do, expose the bad guys, the atrocities in the world. And since then, the Islamic State officially put the United States on a very slippery slope with a new war front against jihadism, and a new term and a new group we hadn't heard very much, even though they had been around for a while, the Islamic State, which then morphed into ISIL, which now we continue to have airstrikes and lead a coalition force against ISIS for that swath of territory between parts of Iraq and Syria. And those targeted airstrikes continue. The first ones were launched in September. And they called that the started expanded action against the Islamic State extremists. And this was about a month after James Foley was murdered. One of the top stories in the year, certainly in anyone's top 10, would be the fight against ISIS, would be the barbaric beheadings of Americans. And especially when we first saw James Foley, I think right there was already the tip of the iceberg. So now these airstrikes, but no boots on the ground. And one thing that is constantly being promised is no boots on the ground. We're not going to see that. We're not going to see Americans that are going to be in harm's way where we have thousands and thousands and thousands that are deployed to do that. At least that's the narrative. That's the narrative we continue to hear over and over and over and over again. But ISIS is recruiting Western youth with a lot of video skills and English language skills. They're looking toward England a lot. They're looking toward the United States. They're looking toward Australia, too, as well. And they're looking for more targets. They're posting execution videos, looking for ways to threaten. So they can't be shoved off and forgotten. And it all started with the beheading of the U.S. journalist James Foley. And it didn't end with Foley because they beheaded several people besides Foley. And each time, it's shocking and sickening, and it's a story that's sad about somebody who is there to help others, is there for humanitarian reasons or other reasons. Stephen Sotloff was another American who was beheaded, and that was in September. And they said that the Sotloff beheading, ISIS did, was a second message to the United States to stop the airstrikes in Iraq, to stop it. And when you think of the journalists who have been killed worldwide, certainly many journalists have been killed, but these were horrific, horrific images. And he is paying the price, is what his captor said, for U.S. military intervention. And the family, just like Foley's family, came out and supported their sons, said it was horrific and barbaric, and supported what was happening to push back against the group. And it always became, after these beheadings, intelligence analyzing the videos, trying to answer questions. When was it shot? Where was it shot? Is it, you know, authentic? And they still believe that there could be a small number of Americans that are being held hostage. That there may be more. And every single time, the word back to the U.S. is back off. Stop with the airstrikes. Stop with the airstrikes, or we'll do something. And of course, then you had several Brits who found themselves in the situation where they too were beheaded by ISIS. And you had the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, saying he was aware of the video and the reports of the Americans, of course, and how disgusting and despicable the acts were. And then the Brits also had several people who were executed, and it just brought this home even more for non-Americans, but others who realize that ISIS is going to torture you, they're going to do whatever they can, they're going to pump out their propaganda and their videos, but we're not backing off with the coalition. 80 people have been kidnapped in Syria since the civil war began. A lot of that has been unpublished. So how many more of those people are vulnerable? How many more are Americans. And remember, the president, part of this whole swing in August and September, the president was heavily criticized for not taking strong action right from the beginning against ISIS or ISIL, because the strategy took a while to develop. The president came out a week after the beheading of James Foley and said, we don't have a strategy yet to deal with ISIS in Syria, that we were looking at a range of options. I remember Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, saying, if you can't come up with a strategy, at least tell us what the goal is regarding ISIL. This was one of the issues where you mostly had, pretty much across the board, a bipartisan consensus, Democrats and Republicans, who wanted the president to take a very strong stand the second it happened and not to let it to continue as to decide what was going to happen, because they are a threat to our national security. And also, James Foley, Stephen Sotloff, and all the others who were tortured and beheaded, it's a reminder, specifically for a guy like Foley, journalism-wise, freelance reporting, why it's so dangerous. Why it's so dangerous to be in those situations. Because ISIS is ruthless, and they don't care what happens as blowback for whatever it is they decide they're going to do that is more barbaric each and every time. So the Tom Risen interview was timely and interesting because it gave us a picture of James Foley, not just seeing him in the orange suit, not just seeing sad snippets of his parents, which they're so brave to go before the microphones and release a statement and support the actions of the United States, but to lend more color, if you will, round out the life of Foley and what he wanted to be and why he was doing what he was doing, why it meant so much to him. So that's coming up. Also, needless to say, we start off with the police being assassinated. And what a rough year it's been, no doubt, in that department. We sink into our re-rack for the end of the year, the top stories, and certainly ISIS is one of them and continues to be. And then on the other side, we're going to come out and we actually have some real heroes to salute during the Christmas season. Stay with us.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com. Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
What good is a big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Tonight with a lot of different people from all aspects of this, what happened to James Foley, just so barbaric and heinous to even attempt to watch that video whatsoever. And you think of the kidnapping and now what we've been talking about with ISIS and whatnot. It feels so personal to so many of us who did not know Jim Foley at all. Can you imagine if you knew him even somewhat, or you were really close to him or his family members, which we certainly have heard what they've had to say in the last week or so. Joining us now, Tom Risen, who knew Jim Foley, went to him for advice, actually. He's with U.S. News and World Report. Of course, you can catch his stuff there. We've had him on before. Tom, thanks so much for coming back on America Tonight. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Yes, I went to school with Jim Foley at Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, and Jim was very, very proud to be a reporter. So a lot of my classmates and I have been feeling the loss, and we were really inspired by Jim. You know, people forget he was kidnapped and held prisoner by Muammar Gaddafi for 6 weeks in Libya and came home and went back to another war zone. So he really inspired a lot of us, and I had spoken with him after he'd gotten back from Libya, And I was freelancing at the time in 2012, and I really wanted to do something big. I was inspired by what he did in Libya, and I'd called him up and I'd asked him for advice on how to go to Syria, because the civil war there was just the carnage, and I really wanted to go and cover it the way that he covered Libya. So that was the last time I'd spoken with him. We had talked on the phone a lot about that, and to see him after he'd gone there and was held prisoner for a couple of years, it was really just a hit to the chest just to hear about that. I mean, we had been still hoping that he would somehow be invincible and still come home. He'd done it before. He survived Gaddafi. I don't know. I was expecting him to somehow miraculously come home.
What was it about him that was he just driven to expose things that were happening to people? What was it that drove him to do the kind of journalism that he did, do you think?
He had been a teacher for a while, and his brother was in the Air Force, so he had had some real life inspiration about how to make people know how some of the realities of the world that he really wanted to bring home to people. So he changed careers in his late 30s, and he came to Medill, and that's where we met. And he, so he was older than I was, but he wanted to be a reporter. He really wanted to help make people aware of how the world was changing all around us. So he was embedded with the National Guard in Indiana. He went to Iraq with them. And after that, he went to Afghanistan, and then he went to Libya, and he had made this new career for himself as a photojournalist. It was really impressive. And he was just driven by showing people in the United States the reality of the Middle East. We don't know what happens there. He had a brother who was stationed in Iraq, and he didn't know. He had no idea what was going on over there, and he thought that we needed to see this with our own eyes, because a lot of we live a pretty nice life here. We don't have to worry about kidnapping. We don't have to worry about being hit by rockets. It's pretty nice here, and we really don't think about this a lot. And this past week, it's been almost a week since the video came up, and I'm thinking a lot about that, about how we are so comfortable, and Jim wanted us to wake up a little bit to just all of the harsh realities in the Middle East.
Yeah. And, you talked about talking to him about Syria and trying to make the big play and what do you do. And what was it that you were talking about, some of the advice that he gave you, and you, of course, wrote about this. And I thought it was interesting because he said, I love this. This is the teacher aspect that you mentioned about him, that he was telling you, okay, well, first you got to start in Jordan or Lebanon, right?
Yeah. It's very... I look at Syria a lot like the Spanish Civil War back in the 1930s, where you have the fascists who were like Assad, and then you have all these other ragtag groups. You're not really sure what they're doing. They're all against Assad, but you have ISIS, and you have this Free Syrian Army, and you have all these other groups that are fighting Assad, but they're also kind of rivals with each other, especially ISIS. So it's really confusing over there. You can't get into Syria as an American unless you're one of a handful of people, like maybe CNN or New York Times. Although the New York Times also has had some casualties of reporters going there. It's very dangerous for journalists. So he said you'd probably have to go to Lebanon and get across the border somehow, have someone smuggle you across. And that's what he did in Libya. He went to Egypt, and Gaddafi was also cracking down the media, so he had to sneak into Libya through the Egyptian border. The free, rebels there had, brought him across and smuggled him through the border. So that's probably what I would have had to do.
Yeah.
And it was very expensive to do that, so the money got me into doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, so in a sense, because of, amazing reporting that he did, and the, because I've talked to other people as well that had connections to him, and they say that, he was just gung-ho about exactly, you drilled it down, exactly what he thought that people needed to wake up. And, what a terrible way to see this end for Jim and for his family. obviously. And when you first saw that video, you know, there's got to be, as I said, the emotions across the board for so many Americans. I mean, this has, talk about waking people up. This has really, really, I think, become the water cooler buzz, because people are feel so awful for his family. Can't believe it. You know, now want to move forward and do something. Do you think that this may prompt some people to pay more attention?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it takes really dramatic examples like this to wake people up, because people like Jim knew about ISIS for years. They've been around a very long time. They didn't just appear out of nowhere and take control of Mosul in June. They've been around a long time, and people like him have tried to warn us about this. You know, with his reporting, he said, hey, this is happening here. Okay, I'm watching Entertainment Tonight. But now there's really dramatic examples that make it easy for us to understand this. So that's, his family is in a lot of really tough times right now. But he would have wanted people to be positive about how they can act on this. Like, he was not a gung-ho war hawk. He was not against Islam. There's been a lot of hate speech out there. You know, after his death, they say ISIS is, you know, shows how terrible Islam is, and we should go and bomb the hell out of them. You know, he didn't think that way, and people shouldn't draw that conclusion from his death. But he would have wanted people to realize this is, you know, there's real problems over there. We can't just ignore them. We have to get involved somehow. Like, he was really proud of how his reporting in Libya had inspired NATO to intervene. You know, people like him in Libya showed the war, and they said this is a terrible situation, and France and Britain and the U.S. intervened, and that, you know, he was proud of that. He came home and he talked about that. So I'm sure he would want the world, you know, collectively to do something, not just, I mean, it is a very complicated what should be done, but he would have wanted the world to take notice and do something about it.
Yeah. The other thing is, going back to his calling and your calling and being in journalism school, I went to J school as well, not where you guys went. I went to Ohio University. And I remember that it was all about the career and the calling and the responsibility when you went through journalism school. But, boy, we have a different world now, Tom, as you know. And I think that his death also highlights that. Where are the good journalism folks? Where are the people that are reporting what's happening underneath the rocks? And perhaps this will also, because we're seeing the shape that some newspapers are in and that kind of stuff, and maybe that'll bring some of that back, do you think?
I don't know about the domestic journalism here in the U.S., but I think it should definitely give more weight to the freelancers, because Jim is one of 160 news providers who have been killed since the start of the Syrian civil war in 2011. You know, and most of them are from Syria. Most of them are freelancers. You know, there's the people who represent major news groups represent a very, very small portion, and an even smaller portion of that comes from the United States. You know, there has not been a lot of international coverage of this. There hasn't been, you know, a lot of, you know, the freelancers really are the troops on the ground for the media. You know, they're supposed to, you know, the media is supposed to be neutral on a battlefield. This should, you know, generate a discussion of how, you know, we have the Red Cross, we have some kind of Geneva Code. Reporters should be given greater weight, you know, in a conflict zone. Because I, personally, if I was a Middle Eastern radical, I would not want to kill a reporter. That might actually raise awareness about the troubles in the Middle East, and maybe my relatives would be in better shape because there'd be more international aid. And I think that people should recognize journalists are the good guys. We are there to expose injustice. And freelancers should be given greater weight. You know, some freelancers have trouble getting people on the phone and being taken seriously, but they work incredibly low pay for, you know, I didn't go to Syria because it would have been almost impossibly expensive for me to go. Jim was very grateful that he had the Global Post to support him. So maybe news groups like the Global Post and Agence France, AFP, who also supported him in Syria, will treat freelancers better and take them more seriously.
Yeah, well said, Tom. Thanks so much. You can catch the stuff, U.S. News and World Report. Tom Risen, thanks. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks.
The knowledge. knowledge of the ancients. Tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Do you have relatives and friends that are convinced there is no need ever to prepare for any kind of emergency? Are these also folks you buy Christmas presents for? At 30dayfoodsupply.com, we can solve both of these problems at the same time. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010. We can ship your Christmas presents directly to them. Choose from our original $99 30-day food supply, our long-term storage vegan burger mixes, and other oatmeal, soups, porridges, beans, and granolas for everyday use. All products are non-GMO, MSG-free, and vegetarian. Most are gluten, soy, and nut-free. Call 541-229-0010 today. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low, cutting out the middleman by buying directly from their producers in Oregon. Remember, only $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Visit the website 30dayfoodsupply.com. Call 541-229-0010. 30dayfoodsupply.com. 541-229-0010.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNlive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts, explored, shared, and passed down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNlive.com. GCN.
Terrific conversation we had back in August with Tom Risen, one of the friends of James Foley. You heard him talk about Foley and Gaddafi and people forgetting that. And then also the plight of the freelance journalist who often is the person that is providing this specific information about something in the world, whether it's Syria or it's Libya or wherever. And getting it right and giving us the who, what, where, when, and why, because that type of journalism has become huge since a lot of papers are not sending people into the areas where they used to send them or have stations where they used to have stations in an effort to trim back coverage and hiring contracted people instead. Foley would have been one of those guys and really did an incredible job. His death was tragic beyond words, and now we see these airstrikes in this coalition and the hunt for snuffing out ISIS or ISIL as quickly as possible, and I'm sure that's going to be one of the things we're going to be talking about still in 2015. All right, I thought we would lighten the load because it is the holiday season, right? And there are a lot of people doing good things for others. Sometimes Christmas, Hanukkah, the whole thing brings out the best in people, and I'm all for that. for people that aren't necessarily looking to get publicity, but then they end up getting some publicity for some really cool thing that they did to help somebody else who was in a who's in a situation where they're not as fortunate or need a leg up or whatever, you know, it might be, or just need their spirits raised. And I think really, to me, the daily salute goes to this Donnie Whipple. And he's a guy from Cedar Springs, Michigan, a kid really from Cedar Springs, Michigan, who has cancer, and he was desperately waiting to get a card from his uncle. He would look forward to a card from his uncle for the holidays, Christmas card. And he didn't get it. And so his sister, realizing, oh, I got to do something. This is disappointing. I'm going to get my friends to send him cards. So she got her friends to send him cards. They told some people. And then they told some other people. And before you know it, as of tonight, 2,000 cards have been sent to Donnie Whipple, don't know him. They've come from England, they've come from Australia, they've come from Canada, all over the world, and in the United States as well. So I would have to say bravo. I think that is so cool, so organic, the way that spread, and so heartfelt, because he didn't get the card from his uncle, was disappointed. His sister asked her friends simply on Facebook to send him cards. They did, and that grew. It exploded. The family mail carrier, you know, the person who's delivering your mail, was stunned because the bags of cards were so heavy. A box full of like 80 cards addressed to Donnie was what the mail carrier called a slow day, and said in 30 years, she had never delivered that number of cards to anyone. And so he reads the cards out loud, some from nearby students. And it has just really, I think, been an amazing gift to this family. And it just shows you how certain things touch people. 46 states far away. I mentioned already some of the places. What a huge thing. There's even a Facebook group, Cards for Donnie, because it just got that big. And everybody wanted to know, well, what can they do? Some people have planted a tree for the Arbor Day Foundation in his name. Others have made donations to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in his name. They're doing those kind of things, too. And they weren't asking for anyone to help them with anything other than friends to lift his spirits. So they asked me to give out the address on the air, and I will do that. It's Donnie Whipple, 15263-15263, Pine Lake Avenue, Cedar Springs, Michigan, 49319. Cedar Springs, Michigan, 49319. If you missed the address, no biggie, because remember, you can always send a New Year's card as we're getting closer to Christmas. I will post it on americatonight.net, or you can send me an email, americatonight.net. Click on contact, and I will send you Donnie Whipple's address if you want to send him a card. I think it's very, very cool. Also cool is George Steinbrenner's Silver Shield Foundation is going to pay for the education of the kids of the murdered NYPD officer Rafael Ramos. Steinbrenner started this foundation about 32 years ago, and they've paid for 800 children of police officers, you know, men and women who were killed in the line of duty. So Ramos had two kids, a 13-year-old son, Jaden, and another son who was in college. The other officer had only been married a couple of months, Wee Jin Lu, so he didn't have any kids. But I think it's a great organization. Steinbrenner had tons of money, but he was charitable. And I think this, specifically setting up the Silver Shield Foundation, was a terrific thing, because you heard the number that I said, 800 kids had educations paid for, that, you know, what would have happened there, and they turned the tragedy into something else to make sure that these kids had a leg up. So I think, you know, this, again, is a, in a different way, is another tremendous thing that happens in an awful situation where we have no words for it, but at least there's a cushion for both of those kids so that they have an education behind them that's paid for, and that's one less thing to worry about. I also think this is a daily salute, and I think it's a daily salute because it's just so interesting to me what, as humans, what happens with us, how some people seem as though they can live forever and still do amazing things. Like the story that I read about this man who's 103 years old, 103 years old, still golfing, became the oldest person to actually hit a hole-in-one on record. Gus Andreoni did it at the Palm Air Country Club in Sarasota. His friends watched as he hit his drive on the 113-yard 14th hole, and it rolled right into the cup. He said he always hit the ball short with the driver, and it rolls up to the green, so he feels confident that he gets it pretty close. He is the oldest person to, the PGA said, they believe that he is the oldest person to ever sink a hole in one. And the previous record holder was 102 years old, and that happened back in 2007. I guess he plays golf three times a week, and he actually got his first hole in one 75 years ago. He's done it eight times. And he says he looks forward to doing it again. See, this is the thing about golf that's so interesting. Eight times he's had a hole-in-one. My grandfather, John Fitzgerald, his name was, he lived to be 93, and he had five holes-in-one in his lifetime. He played golf. And even when he retired, he played golf. And I think he got a couple of those, two of those holes-in-one after he had retired. But I think that story is so, so cool. 103 years old, and he's out there playing golf. They showed a picture of him in the golf cart. He doesn't look 103, I have to say. I mean, maybe he looks 90, maybe, but he looks pretty darn good. And finally, another daily salute. Since it's the holidays, I decided I would come up with a whole bunch of them instead of just one. Vince Carter and some other members of the Memphis Grizzlies decided that they were going to help an intern who lost his wheels to car thieves. Somebody stole his car. So they bought Brandon Henderson a new car after his was stolen the day before Thanksgiving. He was in shock. He said he had it tough since he lost his car. And they decided, yeah, this is the season for giving. He's a 24-year-old personal assistant. He was out on a date when thieves stole his 93 Chrysler New Yorker in downtown Memphis. The team got him a brand new Nissan Altima wrapped in a big fat red bow. Woo! That's a nice present. You think he'll ever leave the Grizzlies? I think he's going to be in that front office one day. Thanks for listening to This Hour of America Tonight.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.